So with that, we're going to start back into Ephesians. And Ephesians 4 is the therefore chapter in Ephesians. And you guys might remember, and it's up there. And Robin, thank you so very much. Therefore is therefore a reason. What's the therefore? Therefore, a man taught me that a long time ago. The therefore is there to bring things together. Well, we're going to look today at who you are leads to how you live, right? And so who you are, we've been talking about it already in Ephesians 1 through 3. Who you are, you're one in Christ. You're a new man in Christ, new woman in Christ, a new creature in Christ. You're this unbelievably blessed to know the good news individual that you recognize that he's the only one that saves you. It's grace and faith, and both those are a gift and all of this. And so now how does that come out in your life? Well, we talked about four main themes in Ephesians, and so I'll just break those down for you again really quick. One of the main themes that I see all the way through the New Testament, and really the whole Bible, if you look for the good news in the Old Testament, you'll find it, is this. The gospel affects every part of a Jesus follower's life, even the parts that we don't want him to mess with. But we grow in fullness like we talked last week. And so he gets into these rooms and he's like, look, I want to deal with this. And you're like, yeah, man, that's good. I mean, I'm fine over there. I don't need you to talk to me about my social media use. I don't need you to talk to me about pornography. I don't need you to talk to me about driving. I don't need you to talk to me about how I talk to my wife. I'm good there. And Jesus is like, oh, you're actually not. Let's go. I'm going to move the line on you. We're going to get some light on that. And so the gospel affects every part of a Jesus follower's life. One of the other themes that we see is that new creation means spiritual maturity and transformation. Transformation means changing, right? You've seen people, they've gone from, shall we say, like some people have said in this world, not to hot, or from nope to dope, or whatever, right? They just look amazing as far as the world thinks amazing looks. That's like an outward transformation, but what about the inward? Well, that happens by being a new creation. And can we just together as a church, who makes you a new creation? Jesus, God, yes. They're both the same. Good job. All right. So third and fourth things that we looked at, and then we're going to get into Ephesians 4. There's unity for Christians, and you'll see this, but the unity is against a true enemy, the common enemy for us Christians, and that's the forces of evil. But I'll tell you that even if you're not a Christ follower, your common enemy with everybody is the forces of evil. And you and I have done a really, really, really good job at times of pointing out the evil. And we've done a kind of poor job at times of allowing the evil to be pointed out in us. And that God would say, I want that. This is done. And that leads to this final one. Spiritual disciplines are found in the Word, and especially in Ephesians, slowing down with practical application. So, if you will, join me in Ephesians 4. If you have a Bible, open it up, or open up the app, or look up on this screen. We got screens for days all over the place. So here we go. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I'll remind you as you're looking that up in Ephesians 3, Paul had this rad prayer. And at the end, he says, now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Because of what was just done. This combines this thought of like, he can do anything more than what you think and ask because of the power that's within you. But the big deal is him. It's glory for him. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I should stop right now and say, in some translations it says keep instead of maintain, but you're eager to keep the unity. the unity of the Spirit. And so here's a good deal. You've been given unity in the Spirit, and so now you get to walk that out. You get to live it out. You get to actually be eager about this, and some of us aren't, and so he'll keep giving us opportunities. As the old saying goes, be careful what you ask for. Don't pray for patience, whatever you do. Oh, like God, the Father, the one who's developing all these things in us, is going to be like, well, you didn't ask for it. So I decided not to put you into a situation where you need it. Oh, gosh. Consistently, he calls us to deeper. And it starts with relying on him. So be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is, here we go, church, right? One body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. Whew! Anything stand out to you about that little bit right there? One, good. How about unity, right? We use those two words together simultaneously, one and unity. We're unified. We aren't uniformed, like I said before. We've got the same purpose, and that's to glorify God. But we all have different abilities, different gifts. It's been said that we're part of the same body, but we're not the same part of the same body. And there's only one head of the body, and that's Jesus. And so with that, I want to remind you that we get to see, hear, and act. But how? According to the Spirit. Not to human point of view. And it's so easy. I mean, human point of view. We are humans. I know it's deep. Bob's like, gosh, you get paid for this? Yeah, but here's the point. We've become new humans, new creatures. We get to actually focus on God while we're walking on the water. We get to focus on God while we're sinking in the water. Anybody besides me feel like they sunk this week a little bit? Oh, man. So here's what's up. We get to live like the new person that we've become. We get to. He calls us. I mean, you don't call somebody out to do a bunch of things without them needing to be encouraged to do that. You know, I am in this wonderful pressure cooker called marriage. And if I have not been refined most by Kathy, I haven't been watching. I haven't been paying attention. She just sees things differently than I do. And she actually points me back to Jesus. She's like this, got this simplicity about her. And I'm not just talking like she has less shoes than me, although she does. She could keep it simple there. But she keeps it simple in a lot of things. She's like, God, we need to focus on him. We need to remember him. And like, yeah, I'm the spiritual leader in my home. Yes, by God's amazing grace. And he has to remind me that I'm the spiritual leader in my home because I'm ready to just pass it off so often. But she and I are co-heirs in Christ. She points me to Jesus. And it can be really, really uncomfortable sometimes. But I'm this new person. I actually have this oneness with a worldwide organization. It's really not an organization at all. It's an organism. And so you guys, I want to remind you that he says to walk. He's like, look, I'm a prisoner for all this good news. And so I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to remind you to walk it out, and walk it out in a manner that's worthy of the calling that you've been given. You don't earn it. You walk it out. Just for a second, let me, whether you feel like I'm lifting you up or whatever, I just want to ask that we would look for a second at a little deeper idea than the fact that you and I have to do a bunch of stuff and God will love us. We're loved by him. And so we get to do this. And so we got coaches and we got dads and we've got shepherds and we've got wives and we've got husbands and we've got kids, for goodness sake. Children that are like, hey, that ain't it. That's not how you're supposed to do it. I'm like, what? You know what? This saying that I never was going to say to my kids, if I wanted your opinion, I would have gave it to you. That's how my mom did for me. And I found myself saying that to my kids. No, we get to be unified according to the Spirit and what he says. And so we're going to need his help. And so we see this right in this little spot right here in Ephesians 4, 7 through 10. And so we'll read this. And I'll just talk a little tiny bit about that, because then we're going to get to the rest of it. And it's profound. All of it is. It's God's word. But grace was given to each one of us. How many of us? Each one of us. According to the measure of Christ's gift. So it's about the gift giver. But he loves you and he's given you gifts according to the measure of his gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And that Greek word there for men is for men and women. It isn't just men alone are the gifted ones. It's mankind. And this is a really cool thing, and I'd love to spend a ton of time on it, but I won't be able to. I'll ask you to go and look it up a little bit, some study on this. But this is the idea of a conquering king coming back and going up on the mountain to proclaim the victory. And he's got captives with him. Those who were formerly held captive that he went and set free. And those that are captive to him. Like that he took in war. And he gives gifts to all the people. It's the bounty of war. It's really cool. You can look up some more of that. So in saying in verse 9 that he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? There's been a lot of teaching on this that means that Jesus went into hell and preached after he died, by the way, while he was in the grave, that he went down and preached good news to those who were captives there and set them free. I'm not here to tell you that I'm totally down for that. I get the teaching on that. I think it's pretty straightforward that he actually descended from heaven, because wait for it, that's where he's from. And that he ascended back, and we know that his ascension allowed us to have the best gift ever, the Holy Spirit, right? And so with that, that's where I understand this to mean. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So at this point, some of you are like, but you're not teaching it the way I agree with it. Okay, can we be unified for a second on the fact that the big deal here is still Jesus? And I love to be able to debate. I don't actually love it on Facebook. And so I'm going to tell you right now, what you're going to catch me doing on Facebook is cheerful and joyful. And it might still end up frustrating people. But it's going to be Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, all Jesus, all day. I'm telling you, there's this guy, John Robinson, that coached the Rams, and he coached USC's football program. And so it was the LA Rams for a while and the USC Trojans for a while. And he said, it's tough being here in LA. They're just like really, really, really going to call you out on stuff. I could walk on water, and the next day the headline would be, Robinson doesn't know how to swim. And I'm far from perfect, and I'm far from walking on water, but I'm walking with Jesus. And I could point out something that needs to be pointed out. You could point out something that needs to be pointed out. And people could point out all the things you didn't point out. And that's cool. And we can walk through that. But can we look for something for us to be unified on? Do you want something to be unified on? I know that it's Jesus, but he's going to unpack for us how that looks. You are not on your own. I'm not on my own. But by God's given grace, you and I have a Savior who humbled himself, and he came here, and he rose. I love this, that he ascended far above all the heavens, it says in verse 10, that he might fill all things. He's got us. And he's about to unpack, Paul that is, how he's got us. He gives us gifts. And he gives us a chance to grow in love. Verse 11. And he, God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, which is another word for pastor, and teachers. What did he give them for? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. I thought we'd pay Pastor John and Pastor Aaron and Pastor Josh and Pastor Zach. I thought we paid them to do the work of the ministry. We've really blown it if that's where we're at. And I think we have blown it in lots of ways. You want to know a little shocker? I think the coronavirus has been a big, fat wake-up call for the church. And I hope in Jesus' name that we wake up, and I'm not entirely sure that I have personally. I know that I'm supposed to, so maybe I got an eye open, but I really want to help people know Jesus. I don't want to think for them. I don't want to chew their food for them, but I do want to tell them things. I want to encourage them. I want them to encourage me. I do want us to challenge. You can be unified while being button heads, back to the marriage thing. But he gives us all of these gifts and so many more. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. For the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain, here comes a word we just heard a bunch about. Till we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we would, like we talked about last week, that we would be filled up with Christ, that we would be mature and growing and becoming more like him. Remember, it's like this, the knowledge of the Son of God, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, that isn't saying, you're dumb, but you say it nice, so that's love. Speak the truth in love. Break it down for somebody. Help somebody. Give them a way to be built up. Not you're a clown. You're an idiot. You're a pawn. You're a fool. Well, didn't your son-in-law just say that all of us were evil apart from Jesus? Yeah. But that's not the final word on you. Is that the final word on you, Brandon? You're not your sin. You're not your error. You're not your pain. You're not the evil that you were born with and born into. Conceived in, by the way, and you're like, oh, my parents were married. It's a view, right? That we've got a desperate need to be built up. We've got a desperate need to be built up in truth and love, both, not 50-50, but all of it. So rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. To be like him, you're never going to be him, you are his body, but there's one head, right? It isn't like this multi-headed monster. It's God is the head. And we'd be built up into him, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We need correction. We need reminders. We need discipline. We need encouragement. We need tenderness. We need compassion. We need all of this to help us to grow up to be more like Christ in love. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Many times we're like, hold on for a second, because I know you want me to listen, but I really need to say this. When we're actually supposed to be quiet first and listen, there's a time to speak. For me, that tends to be like whenever I have a chance. I'll just say it like this, so we'll come back to the point. We're saved by love to grow up and to be built up in love. That love is Jesus. He saved us. He pointed out in love how messed up we were, how desperately we needed him, and how desperately everybody else does too. So I want to remind you of what I said earlier. Who you are leads to how you live. My dad grew up with a father, my grandfather, who really didn't like crying very much. And so he told my dad multiple times, "You're a man, act like it." And I heard that a little bit from my mom and my dad because I was a crybaby. And for probably about 8 years, I really just held back from crying. I got into a spot, even I had come to Christ and all that. I cried a little bit, cried at some baptisms, sobbed so bad at my wedding. Oh my goodness. It made my wife laugh, which was a difficult moment for me. I'm like this. Just ugly face, snot and everything. And she's like, I was like, we're going to have our first fight at the altar. But we didn't. She was like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm so happy. I can tell. All right. I was totally overwhelmed. But here's what I'm saying. My dad and my mom and a bunch of other people said, don't be a crybaby. That's not who you are. And so, act like a man. You're a big girl. Act like a big girl. You're a woman. Act like a woman. Don't let people tell you what to do. I mean, all these different things. And Paul's reminding us who we are in Jesus means how we live. And here's some practical, helpful reminders. Verses 17 through 24. Now this I say and I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Do you remember the Gentiles, right? Earlier in Ephesians 2, we heard that they were at one time separated from Christ, alienated. This is what it looks like to not have God, and he gives the list. Futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. And where does the ignorance come from? Their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves to throwing fits and throwing stuff at their moms. Oh, wait. Eden, that was you. So they've given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. You guys, there would be no doubt that at this point, we could be like, yeah, that's definitely how I used to be. Amen. We're no longer that. But many of us go back to this like it's going to give us life. Many of us, Christians, they become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. This is a sexual type of sin as well. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in, say it with me, Jesus. To put off your old self. Now somehow, some way, you have to make a choice to have the outfit changed. You've been given new life. You've been given this transformation. But you have to take off the old self. You have to die to yourself is the old way of saying that as well. Which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self, renewed, new, the new self. Put this on, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness. In case I was missing you at all, check this out. These practical ways to live holy lives. Holy, right? We talked about this a bunch earlier. Set apart, different from the world. Not going to battle like the world goes to battle. Not longing after all the things that the world longs after. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will give us what we need. And a lot more to give to others as well. Therefore, verse 25, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. You see, you take off the old, you put on the new. Nancy Reagan a long time ago said, just say no. But you and I have to say yes to something when we say no to something else, right? And so I say no to lying and I put truth to my mouth. I get to be angry, it says in verse 26, and do not sin. Maybe you remember in the King James, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. How many of you are like, dang it. Well, I just didn't have a chance to talk to my wife. You mean the one that you went to bed with? Mad at? Well, I didn't really know. I couldn't say stuff to my kids, so I just hung on to my anger. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because we don't want to give opportunity to the devil. Give no opportunity to the devil. Gosh, I love this word opportunity. It's actually topos. And it's where we get topographic from. It's ground. Don't give a foothold, it says in the NIV. Don't give an opportunity, it says in the ESV. Don't give ground to the devil. How do we do that? By staying angry. Being angry and sinning and hanging on to this. We cannot let the enemy come in and have the house. We've been given the house. We've been given life. We've been given authority. We've been given goods from the king. And we give them back to the enemy. And we get to go back and take it back. How? Remember who you are and live like it. Because of what he's done for us. Listen, verse 27 is something I want to ask you to work on. Not give an opportunity to the devil. Don't give him the glory. Don't give him the opportunity. Focus on Jesus. Love like Jesus. It's all right here. Go back and read it. You didn't give me enough. Good. The Bible's right there for you. Here's the next. So remember, like the being angry, it's like you can be angry. Just don't sin in it. Don't hold bitterness. Don't go after people. Don't try to take people out. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal. Take that outfit off. But rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Like now you use your hands you once used to take people's stuff. Now you can build up things. You can help people. You can do things. Don't just be busy till Jesus gets back or look busy, but actually working and helping people with somebody in need. And we're going to hear about that need again, right? Verse 29, now it says, look, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. In the NIV, it says no unwholesome talk. Many of us think it's, well, I just won't cuss. That's a good start. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks, Jesus says. And so it's more than just not cussing. It's not deriding people, gossiping about people, tearing them down. But only what should come out of your mouth, this is saying, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How do you know if somebody needs help if you're just trying to tear them down? You might assume that they need help because they're human and look for ways to build them up. Using your words. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed, here's that word again, for the day of redemption. He's like, listen up, fam, you're in. You're sealed. So stop grieving him and start doing what he says. Start following him. Start focusing on him. Start walking on the water. Start sinking. Start putting your eyes back on Jesus. Repentance. The opportunity to put yourself down. And not like, oh, I suck. Sorry, Jane. I'm terrible. I'm lame. That's not putting yourself down. The putting yourself down is like taking off your kingdom of you and focusing on the King of Kings. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. I love this. Along with all malice. I mean, what? Anger with evil intent? I thought that was covered in all that other stuff. No, man, you've been being chumps, so stop. Although the Ephesians did a good job, but he's actually saying, keep coming. There's more. We'll end with this one. This might be the only application that some of you take, and I think that'll be all right. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. In Christ, we are unified with him and his church. We're on a team, and it's Team Jesus. We get to mutually minister to each other. That means to help one another, build each other up, and then live out these holy lives, these lives that are set apart. And we need help with that. The biggest help is the Holy Spirit, so listen to him. And then you've got fellowship. You've got the opportunity to meet some of you in person, some of you online, some of you. I love the face-to-face, and I want that. But I'm telling you, I am not going to lie. It is really, really, really challenging to please everybody. Amen. Honor God. Only God truly knows your heart. But Jesus, who's God, said, your heart's going to come out your mouth. What are you talking about? Let's pray. God, you're awesome in every way. Therefore, we get to be awesome because you have made us whole in you. Help us to live for you. Help us to love for you. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us, Jesus, to not take you lightly. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be together with my family and friends. I thank you for the opportunity for us to learn from you. And I thank you that we can, like your word says, be kind and compassionate, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave us. God, have your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.